Good morning, and welcome to Readers Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Russ M., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, November 29th, 2024. And today we're reading In How It Works, page 61, the second paragraph, starting with our actor is self-centered, egocentric, and it ends with our resentments or our self-pity. All right. Today's readers. So we have Denzin P. for the steps, Joni C. for the traditions, Benita L. is going to be reading the text, Lana C. is page 164, Jen A. is our backup reader, Tony B. is the newcomer greeter, Matt J.F., the second hour host, and Kathy S., Kathy S. is for announcements. All right. I don't have yesterday's share ID numbers, but I'm sure I'll get them before the end of the meeting, and we'll get them to you, those reference numbers for the 28th of November. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating, compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who self-suffer. And like I said, here's our share ID. We have our share ID for yesterday. I think I have it. I got it here somewhere. My phone is buzzing here. I apologize. So we got the 7 a.m. is 21,952. So 21,952. And the a.m. is 21,953. I apologize for that. All right. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I've asked Tenzin P. to read the steps.
Good morning, everyone. Tenzin P. checking in from, well, Mexico right now, but here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, We try to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you very much.
All right, Tenton, thank you. Next up is Joni C. with their traditions.
Good morning. This is Joni C., gratefully recovered but not cured from Minnesota. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
All right, Joni, thank you very much. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. So today we resume our study in the Big Book, How It Works, page 61, the second paragraph. Starting with our actor is self-centered, egocentric, and it ends with our resentments or our self-pity. And Vanita L. is going to read this. She's going to start us off.
Good morning, everybody. This is Vanita L. I'm a recovered but not cured compulsive overeater from Georgia. Our actor is self-centered, egocentric, as people like to call it nowadays. He's the retired businessman who lolls in the Florida sunshine in the winter, complaining of the sad state of the nation. The minister who sighs over, the minister who sighs over the sins of the 20th century. Politicians and reformers who are all sure all would be utopia if the rest of the world would only behave, the outlaw safecracker who thinks society has wronged him, and the alcoholic who has lost all and is locked up. Whatever our protestations, are not most of us concerned with ourselves, our resentments, or our self-pity? You know, it's powerful for me to read this because obviously it's written in the 1930s. And, you know, I can think like this, you know, like, whoa, what's happening in our nation? And, acting like what's happening is, you know, unique, though it's happened in civilizations throughout the history of the earth. And it wasn't, I remember actually after I got to Vision, and I only found Vision like about 5 years ago, after working the steps, and I've been in 12-step programs for decades, I really saw another level of self-centeredness. There are some programs where people focus on self-care, which I also think is important, but I really realized how much I thought about myself, and I started practicing, you know, like, oh, is there somebody I could help today? Who could I reach out to who's in pain? And, right, there's always people around us that are in pain. And I remember just a few weeks ago noticing I was in a thing of self-pity. And it was super helpful, right? Because then I was out of it. So the 12 steps are obviously designed. Step 10, if we've been through step 4 already, and we've gotten to step 10, they give us ways to work through these resentments. And I'm having this incredible phase in my life being around people who really dedicated themselves to deep spiritual practices, 12-step people and other people, and just seeing, right, their simpleness, their lack of ego, their presence, their ability to fully focus on somebody else and you know, tune into them and connect with them. So these 12 steps are powerful in helping us connect to others, you know, the gods with skin that are walking on the earth and reaching out to people who are suffering and helping to guide them, you know. So the 12 steps are beautiful, and yeah, I feel really grateful to have a program that helped me realize how self-centered I can be. Thanks.
All right, thank you, Vanita. So now we're going to open up the line for sharing, and we ask that you limit your share to every third day. If you share it on this week twice on either Wednesday or Thursday. So say your name, first initial of your last name, and then we can go from there.
Melissa
Susan
C.
S.
Tony B.
Ben B.
All right. I got Melissa. And that's
Susan S.
Susan, there you go. That's what it was. Susan. Okay. Next up.
Tony B.
Ben B.
Anne-Marie M.
Tony B. Anne-Marie, but there was someone.
Ben B.
Jen B. I'll add you there, Jen. All right, come on. We have more space. All right, we'll start with that. We got Melissa C., Susan S., Tony B., Anne-Marie M., and Jen B. All right, Melissa, you're up.
Hey, good morning, Russ. Thanks so much for your service this morning. My name is Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in New York. And, you know, I read this, and I think it's really helpful for me to kind of break down these different personalities. You know, this retired businessman who's basically, you know, fortunate enough to retire and hang out, relaxing in the sun. But rather than be grateful, you know, for time to enjoy, you know, what a what do we do instead? Just complain, passively complain. You know, do I passively complain when I'm sitting, you know, with every wonderful luxury? You know, I got indoor plumbing, I have a job, I have a family, I have a car. You know, am I quick to see what's lacking, or am I grateful? You know, if I'm on a plane, right, if I'm having this wonderful luxury of sitting in an airplane and I'm pissed off because the Wi-Fi isn't working on the plane, well, I'm this type, right? And then, you know, then it talks about this minister, you know, who, when I read that, I think, okay, he's got the responsibility of a congregation, but he's sighing. You know, to me, sighing is like kind of a defeatist attitude about the whole, you know, about the whole everything, about the whole state of the whole world, you know. And do I focus on the problems, like, in the whole world globally, but do nothing right under my nose, you know? I think about it like this. I've complained about pollution, and, you know, in a binge, I would throw my garbage out a moving car, right? And then there's this, the politicians and the reformers who want to shake everything up and improve, fix, reshape, you know, certain that happiness will be dependent on the whole rest of the world behaving. And I think, well, what's the problem with that? You know, one is I've got this false idea that utopia is achievable if my will be done, right? If everyone in the whole world does what I think is right. You know, and then there's the safecracker, you know, who uses trickery to take what's not his and then blames others. You know, do I do that? Do I blame other people when I've done things wrong? And I think, you know, I read that and I'm like, yep, this is the recipe for disaster, you know. And I think more than any of it for me is the one that if I think that my true ultimate happiness of utopia is going to be based on the whole rest of the world, I am in serious trouble, because now I'm in bondage to the rest of the world. And what I found out, I know I'm out of time, but what I found out really quick is that utopia is one of the promises in this book. It says that we can live in a new and wonderful world regardless of our circumstances. And that's what it means when you turn your will and your life over to God. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Melissa. Next up is Susan S. followed by Tony B.
Good morning. I'm Susan S. from Virginia. I'm a grateful recovering compulsive overeater, and I'm so grateful to have gotten through Thanksgiving without overeating. It's just such a miracle to me, and I'm grateful for our reading today. I never realized how truly self-centered I was. I've always thought of myself as, like, really nice, kind person, but when I did my fourth step, I came face-to-face with the fact that I am a controller. I want everything to be my way. I think I would, my family would be so much better off if they all did exactly what I wanted them to do. So it's been such a wonderful journey to get to the place where I don't want to control people anymore. When I can want to control people, and I can apologize when I have controlling behavior with those I love, and I can just back away from judging everything and everybody. And I'm just so grateful for you all being here and for this program, and I pass.
All right, thank you, Susan. Next up is Tony B. followed by Anne Marie M.
Thank you, Russ. My name's Tony B, and I am a compulsive overeater, gratefully recovered just for today in Scotland. So, you might think it's... that it's not self-centered or egotistic to complain about the sad state of the nation. You know, you could say it's responsible, isn't it, to be aware of the politics and of the time and to critique and complain if things seem to be off. And then some of the terrible things, the wars and genocides occurring in the 20th century, you might think the same thing. But is it? You know, it's really things not going our way. It's us thinking that we know better, me thinking I know better than God how life needs to be going. And this complaining and sighing, I need to watch out for these things, even though I can tell myself that they're justified. you know, what's it accomplishing? It can give me a sense of superiority for sure. And it can certainly give me an ego boost that I'm intelligent and I know what's best. And a personal experience of mine, even with sobriety from alcohol, I acted out thinking that I was wronged. My boyfriend had an affair. I suspected. I went round. I pushed into his home and I was aggressive. He called the police and I was arrested and locked up for a day. And in the moment when I was doing that, I felt justified. I couldn't control my emotional nature. I was too concerned with my resentments, my unmanageable life and codependence that I was caught up in. And I couldn't handle life on life's terms. I protested, you know, he's wrong. He was unfaithful. I can see now I wasn't recovered. I was just sober. I was still using food and men. And thank God for OA. Thank God for a Vision for You meeting, for the total surrender that I've had and this reliance on God. And I still, of course, still have to watch out for self-righteousness and protestations. But I do watch out now for them. Thank you, my teachers, and thanks to God. And I'll pass with that. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Tony. Next up is Anne-Marie M., followed by Jen B.
Good morning, Rush. This is Anne-Marie M. in South Carolina, recovering from compulsive overeating and very grateful. Yesterday, I did a fifth step with my sponsor. Boy, oh boy, what an eye-opener. Was I all of these people? Yes. It was just so very eye-opening for me to see my true self-centeredness. And what was even better than that, you know, seeing it is what I wasn't, I didn't go into self-pity about being, you know, totally self-centered. And you know, the couple of paragraphs prior to this, I look at it as, this is what tells me what self-seeking behavior is. And I saw that yesterday. I saw my self-seeking behavior. Manipulation, basically. I saw my manipulation, particularly with my daughter. And the best part is that there's something I can do about it. I don't have to sit in self-pity about it. You know, I don't have to sigh, you know, like it says here in the book. There's a God that will help me get out of this. And I read something this morning, and I wrote it down, and I'm not sure where it is, but, you know, God was able to reach out and get me out of the deep waters that I was in. And I'm so grateful for that. And it's because of really this meeting that taught me that the basis of the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, particularly the big book, is teaching me that I need to have a relationship with God, a continuous relationship with God, and not let go of that and not think that I can handle things on my own. But I just wanted to share my experience from yesterday of seeing my character defects in black and white and able to talk to my sponsor about it and for her to help point some things out to me that, you know, I didn't really see. And I'm just so very, very grateful. This program is miraculous. I'm grateful to be trudging along with everyone here, and that I can see my defects and not sit in the self-pity. And I think that's, you know, it talks about us moving on to the next step. You know, in step four, it says a few more paragraphs, but next we launch out on a vigorous course of action. Oh, my gosh. Thank you. Thank you so much. I'll pass.
Thanks, Anne-Marie. Next up is Jen B., and then we're going to take another list.
Hi, everybody. I'm Jen B., a recovered compulsive overeater. Yesterday, I celebrate Thanksgiving, was a real, it really showed me an example of how God has changed my heart through this program. I was going to my sister's for dinner. She hasn't hosted in many years. And I don't really have a working relationship with her. We're cordial, but we're not close at all. My mother was going to be there, who I used to resent above and beyond anybody else in my life, and other people. And in the past, every gathering of any sort or holiday, the entire time before the event, I spent my time, you know, going over in my head, reminiscing about everything that everybody has ever said to offend me. And I would sit and I would rehearse these scenes in my head the whole day. I would go over in my head, you know, current resentments over with these people in anticipation of, you know, if they say this to me, I'm going to say this. And by the time I was wound myself up so much, and my husband knew this was a thing, and he would be empathetic with me. Oh, you know, I know it's hard to be around my mom, or I know it's hard to be around your sister. You know, I'd be panicked in a mood before any event even took place. I just future tripped the whole day. And yesterday was so different. I didn't do that at all. I got a little bit nervous because, like I said, I don't have a great relationship with my sister. But I prayed to God and asked what kind of sister he wanted me to be. I asked how I should show up at my sister's house. And it was clear and it wasn't dramatic. Just be present and loving, simple. I didn't have to rehearse this huge thing where in the past, you know, like the actor, I would, you know, be sitting in my, you know, only be concerned with myself and my resentments and my self-pity and then needing to, you know, then be the director and orchestrate the entire conversation. I didn't do that at all yesterday. And I was a little bit concerned, and what did I do? I picked up the phone, I did a 10-step on my little bit of fear, and I prayed to God. And it was all cleaned up before it even started. In the past, I used to do the dishes. I was, no matter who was hosting, myself or somebody else, I would always be the dish person, and I would scoot everybody else out of the kitchen. No, you go sit. I'm going to do the dishes. And I wasn't trying to be helpful. I didn't want to talk to anybody. That was my way of avoiding sitting at the table and chit-chatting after dinner. And yesterday I didn't do that. I didn't take over the kitchen immediately. My sister started cleaning up, and I moseyed on in there to talk to her a little bit, and then I helped her. I didn't tell her to go sit down. It would have been, you know, I could just tell she was nervous. And anyway, with that all passed, I'm grateful for this change that God has made in my heart, and I'll pass.
All right. Thank you, Jen. So before we open up the line for sharing, again, let me let you know where we're at. We're on In How It Works, page 61, second paragraph, starting with our actors self-centered, and it ends with our resentments or self-pity. If you share it on Wednesday or Thursday, please step back, allow others to share. Let me know who wants to share.
Stephanie.
Yep, got you, Lee.
Bessie O.
One second, Lee H, and then who was that last one?
Bessie O.
Bessie O.
Charlene
who
G.
Else? Charlene G. Anyone else?
Lucy A, New York.
Susan G. I got it. Was that Lucy?
Yes.
What's the freshness for the last name?
A.
Lucy A. At New York, right?
Okay.
All right, that's a pretty good list for now. So we got Stephanie O, Lee H, Bessie O, Charlene G, Susan G, Lucy A. All right, Stephanie O, you're up.
Thanks so much, everybody. Good morning. My name is Stephanie O from Long Island, New York. I am a recovered chronic relapser just for today. And I really love this section of the big book because it does like outline not just different people in the world, but different versions of Stephanie O in the world. I'm very grateful that I am overall a positive person. However, when it comes to my disease, it could all be taken down in just one small scoop. No pun intended, but yes. I have found that this Thanksgiving and just this week and just in finding vision for since being away at the convention, I have to practice radical gratitude because my disease loves the self-pity. Like my disease thrives there. You know, looking at all the stuff last night, I mean, I'm just so blessed that sugar was lifted a long time ago. And it looks pretty, but I know that that is just poison. And so what did I do? I was of service to other people, right? I have a brother who's handicapped, so I helped to feed him dinner. There were a lot of little kids there. I'm a teacher. I was able to bring them all in the basement for a while and play and make crafts. And these are things that I genuinely wanted to do. And, you know, in the past, yes, I related so much to that last year. Like, I would do the service, but only because I didn't want to be around either the people that were at the table or I couldn't be by food. And that is torture. Not being able to sit at a dinner table with the people I love is torture because of food. And thankfully, this is something so different for me, and I'm just so grateful that I surrender before God and I put my food on a scale so that I can tell the food its place in this world, which is on a scale, and I could really be there and enjoy the people and be grateful. You know, my mom is a recovered cancer survivor, and she just got her last PET scan, and it's clean, and it's like, I kept my gratitude there this year and just the gratitude that I can be present because I'm not walking around in a food coma. Thanks so much for sharing and thanks for the meeting.
All right. Thank you, Stephanie. Next up is Lee H. followed by Bessie L.
Thanks so much, Russ. This is Lee H. in Tennessee. I'm so glad to be here and my heart is racing. A lot of times I don't really want to share because I don't think I have anything to say, but today my heart is just rushing over with things. I'm probably not going to have enough time to say everything I want to say, but I'm really grateful today to be here too. I've really struggled with self-pity over these holidays. I really selfishly wanted to be with my children and my grandchildren, but it didn't work out. So, you know, I've learned in this program to reach out, you know, and so I just invited our neighbors over, and then another family group came, and there were some little ones, and I love the little ones. I have little grandchildren, but anyway, I just woke up this morning so grateful, and it wasn't about the food. I still have some problems with measuring, so I'm not going to say it was perfect, but I did not get into the food yesterday. And I'm just sitting here, my little dog. I learned from my dog. I learned dog lessons. This is how God teaches me things. But she's so vulnerable, and she's sitting here on my lap right now on my Afghan. And I just am, you know, stroking her, and I feel her little delicate legs. And, you know, I love her, and I just am amazed at how vulnerable she is with me, that she will let me just, you know, cuddle her, and she's delicate. And I realize I have the power to love her, or I have the power to reach over and grab her leg and hurt her, you know, and it's a horrible thought. But, you know, this is kind of what God's showing me, is that he has power and he's given me power. And, you know, I can either choose to love or I can choose to destroy, and I can choose to love myself and others, or I can choose to hurt myself and others. You know, I hurt myself with food and, you know, overdoing it, more of this, more of that. Or, you know, I can choose with his power to love myself and to take care of myself. And so anyway, I'm just really grateful that, you know, I've been able to allow my higher power to control me and not me control everything like this, you know, like the actor does and the director. And so I'm just choosing today. And, you know, it's not, like I say, I'm still learning things, but I'm so, so grateful that it's not about food anymore. I'm learning how to just enjoy my life more and enjoy people, and he had more than I could ask or imagine yesterday, being with these strangers, these neighbors that I've never, you know, really gotten to know, never been in my house, and we just had the best time. So I'm grateful, and I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Lee. Next up is Bessie O, followed by Charlene G.
Good morning. This is Bessie O. I'm calling from Colorado, recovered. Thank you for taking the lead. When I'm reading this paragraph, it just reminds me of, like, what kind of attitude am I walking around with? And I feel like in my experience in OA, which has included, restarting my abstinence many times over, it just reminds me that if I am really doing, you know, steps one and two, that I am, like, naturally turned toward the step. Because if I've really put that does not work, then I have to set aside this old way of being, which my old, you know, default way is having to be right, having to look good. This is just so meaningful that we're reading this passage the day after a holiday where, you know, my tendency to, like, say the right thing or just to grab, mine, comes up. And I just think about, like, the on page 158, we hear about someone's third step experience. On the third day, the lawyer gave his life to the care and direction of his creator and said he was perfectly willing to do anything necessary. His wife came, scarcely daring to be hopeful, though she thought she saw something different about her husband already. And you know, really taking this step, last night my daughter, she's a teenager, and she said, Mom, she said, I just looked over at you, and she said, you were glowing at the dinner table. And she wasn't saying that physically, you know, and that's the kind of thing that changes in us, you know, when we really take these steps. And I'm not saying that to flex, because it actually has nothing to do with me. It's because, you know, people can see when we're in that selfish attitude or when we are just really setting aside our way and just adopting, like, this new way of being, which is letting go of being right, proving, you know, look at me, versus, like, here I am, you know, I'm just this powerless woman who's a channel to my creator. And so, yeah, I'm going to pass with that. Thanks for taking the lead again, and I'll pass.
All right. Thank you, Betsy. Next up is Charlene G, followed by Susan G.
Good morning. This is Charlene G from beautiful Heber City, Utah. I'm so grateful for your lead and for carrying this message and for the service that each one of you are rendering to me today. I just love my Vision for You meeting and feel so grateful. Today, I'm just filled with so much love from God. I just feel His love bringing me to so much, first of all, bringing me to recovery. There's so many people that, oh, if only they knew that there's a solution. And I just feel so lucky. Like, why me? How grateful I am. It's just a blessing. And I see God's gifts every day, specifically lately with my loving sponsor, who does not quit on me or fire me. That's just not something my God would do. And recently, having done a fifth, I'm just learning. So my behavior is actually a form of controlling. There's a portion of me that is controlling, and I denied ever being a controlling type. But it's just God's way of gently pointing out things that I'm ready to look at and helps me get ready to remove these defects that are in the way, that block me. And helps me so that I can be more useful. You know, in the solution, I just feel so much different. I just feel lighter. I just feel, you know, I caught it the other day singing along with the radio. I've had a long-term state of sadness and disappointment and grief. And I just feel like it's God has allowed me to feel my feelings, but helps me to see a better way and to get into acceptance. And of course, a new movie helps me with that sing-along. But I just had an experience where I had a disappointment in the morning, and I was so bummed. And then I stopped, and I caught myself, and I thought, now this is going to lead to discouragement, and then this is going to lead to self-pity. And it was a God shot of showing me, do you want to get into acceptance, or do you want to entertain all this crud? And that's just a beautiful example of how God is holding me, guiding me. Every bit of my recovery has, every bit of every relapse, every bit of my long-term recovery has brought me so much growth. Yesterday was a prime example. I remember 10 years ago when I was first learning how to put down flour and sugar, I didn't know that how white-knuckling I was doing it, because as soon as the guests left, I started to eat the stuff that I was disappointed that I didn't get to have and jealous. And yesterday, it was such a peaceful day. So much gratitude of making my husband my, you know, not food I don't eat, and just having a beautiful meal together and both of us in such gratitude. And I don't feel jealous. I just feel so content. And I know life ebbs and flows, but today I just feel for every share that you give me, every nourishment that I get from this fellowship and from the step work and the big book. And I just have so much gratitude. And I don't have to feel anxious with eating after the event and all that. So I hope you all have a wonderful day. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
All right. Thank you. Next up is Susan G, followed by Lucy A.
Thanks, Russ. Hey, everybody, this is Susan G in Tennessee, recovered compulsive overeater, by God's grace and mercy. So grateful. Yeah, just quiet gratitude that I'm hearing today, I can certainly resonate with. And the reading today, the actor's is not a part of. He's apart from. And whenever I act apart from life, I move into resentment, fear, and self-pity, and eventually the food. And I'm just so grateful, too, as has been expressed, for these steps that have taught me my place, you know, the deep humility, that principle that I strive for, to know who I am and who I'm not. And I'm not the director of anybody's show, even my own, nor am I the actor in my life today. I'm living my life today. I'm walking in my life today in peace. And I learned that I can be generous of spirit and ask what's the next right thing and provide for everyone around me and myself through work and self-sacrifice. And it's a joy. And likewise, that can coexist with the grief that sometimes will resurface, you know, losing loved ones around holiday time and remembering them. It can be so difficult, but I can be grateful and walk in peace, knowing I'm being taken care of and not sitting on a sideline saying, oh, woe is me, or like the retired businessman, you know, who's complaining about something he's not involved in, or the minister who says, oh, there's so many sins, and is sitting on that sidelines. I'm in life today to live life today and to be life affirmed today by this program of recovery that's taught me the world doesn't revolve around Susan G today. And I'm the foot soldier of a great general, you know, in a sense, you know, that is directing and has my back and is lovingly caring for me. I'm rambling a bit, I think, but I just wanted to share today and just say thank you. Thank you very much for my recovery, and I continue to learn. School is always in session over here, and I'm not locked up because of my crazy thinking today. I've been saved and rescued by a power greater than me, and I'm restored to sanity each moment that I ask God to direct my thinking and ask him what he would have me be today. So today I'm one of you, and I'm glad I'm in the boat. Thank you, Russ. Appreciate your service today and showing up today. Thanks, everyone. Have a great one. Bye.
Thanks, Susan. Next up is Lucy A., and then we're going to take another list. We should be able to get about three people.
Good morning. Thanks, Russ. This is Lucy, gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in New York. I love this text. Whatever our protestations are, not most of us concerned with ourselves, our resentments, or our self-pity. For me, that has always been a pattern. And yesterday we hosted for Thanksgiving. And we've also recently have had issues with my son. We have four adult children. And we've never really had issues with our kids. But suddenly, you know, these problems are erupting with my son, where he's living with a couple of roommates right now. But before that, he was living with his girlfriend and her parents. And I was holding on to, you know, resentments and self-pity and what did I do and look at how I raised you. You know, we did 22 years of raising you and now we're good for nothing and, you know, and all of these things. But thank God for program. Thank God for the fact that I won't sit in the resentments and the self-pity and the fear and the self-doubt and all of that stuff. But instead, I'll turn to God and I'll turn to my fellows and 10 steps and resolve them. And yesterday, my son had come by the other day and told my husband, I was at work, but he told my husband he wasn't going to be here for Thanksgiving because his girlfriend didn't feel comfortable. So unless, you know, we made her feel comfortable by whatever means we had to call her, invite her over before Thanksgiving. And my husband just said, we didn't do anything wrong to her. So, you know, we don't see a reason to do that. There's really... So I just prayed about it yesterday. I was thinking about it, and I said, God, I'm going to surrender all of this to you. Although my mind was thinking, send him a text. You know, it was manipulation. It was manipulation like I would have done in the past. Send him a text, make him feel bad for all that we've done and this and that. And as soon as I started thinking about sending him a text, I prayed about it. I said, I will send him a text. I'm going to say, Happy Thanksgiving. I love you. And have a great day, and that's it. You know, not even I love you, sad that you're not coming, love you, how dare you. No. I prayed about it. I said, Lord, please help me to say the right things to him. I just said, Massimo, we love you. Have a happy Thanksgiving day. And that was it. And lo and behold, who shows up unexpectedly last night? You know, while we were here, my sister and her family were over. It was a small crowd, which is also a blessing of this program, that there's no more of that people-pleasing, approval-seeking that I used to do, where I felt that the more people I had in my house, so I would invite, and almost like convince people to come over just because it was like a reflection of how great of a host I was. It was all about me. But yesterday was just my twin sister and myself and our families, and I was so thankful that my son did decide to come over, even if it was for a little bit, even if it was to see his cousins and not us. But he was here. He was here. And then the other side of that was my mom, you know, where I take this self-pity stance of, I live close to her. I live the closest of my, oh, thank you. And God just restores us. So I'm so thankful. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Lucy. So we have time for maybe two shares. So I think two, yeah. If you share Wednesday or Thursday, please step back. And who would like to share?
Ruben H. Israel.
Who was that?
Ruben H. Israel.
Ruben.
Jackie A.
And Jackie. Go ahead, Ruben.
All right. Thanks for your service, as always, and everybody on the line. I want to share a couple of things. I have some fears of saying something inaccurate, and so I'll put it out, and also hope that I can be of use to someone else who is struggling with our illness. So one thing I just wanted to point out that I was a little bit confused as to which step we're on over here, because on page 60 it says being convinced we were at step 3, and then on page 63 it says we are now at step 3. So that's just something that I put out. If anybody has any thoughts on that, let me know. The other thing is, so I'm thinking it's something like approaching step 3 and or with step 2. So I first need to point out that right now I am on the first step, where this is day 1 for me after binging on foods. What this paragraph is telling me is that gives me a clue as to my that I had a psychic change, and I had I was free of my alcoholic foods. I was free of the craving, I had though issues about my life. For me, it was related to fears about relapsing in my cancer, sitting back and focus on the world problems, politics, and what's going on in the world. These things defocused me, and they brought me back to allowing myself to give in to the temptation not accepting that I am a compulsive overeater, and therefore that I cannot put one that I can allow myself, and somehow that the food will help me. And that is not accepting step 1. It's not accepting entire abstinence. What I wrote down for myself is the solutions that I need, there are solutions, and this meeting gives me the solutions. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Ravine. And Jackie A is going to be our last share. You're up, Jackie. Star 1, Jackie.
Thank you, Russ, so much. Thank you, everybody on the line. It's an absolute joy to be off from work today and to be able to share and listen to my dear brothers and sisters and these out there. I had, when I first came into program, I came in total abstinence, and like that struck, like hell just broke loose, like all hell broke loose, mayhem. And so, I was at that point ready to surrender, not just the food, the alcohol at the time before that, but also just like controlling people, controlling the situations, and, just in that place of surrender, because I had almost had a domestic in my kitchen with somebody who was my ex, who 12 steps me into program. And I've done the steps 4 times, and each time it reminds me of what the reading today is, and then also in our daily readers, is that I cannot control other people. I couldn't control my own actions. I have a problem with people who are narcissistic, who always think they're right, or who people who can't apologize, and yet, like, I had that mentality of, I know what's best for you, I know what's best for us, I know what's best for society, I know what's best for my family, work, you know, my dog. It's just, I had those qualities that I couldn't see in myself, and this year, I I had upset my aunt, who, by the way, has never, ever kicked out anybody in her family, ever, except for me. And I tried to out my cousins for taking advantage of her and lying about their drug use. And as a person in recovery, I'm like, how effing dare you? Like, we don't do that. Like, we don't take from people thousands and thousands of dollars in mortgages and say, I've never done anything. But not everybody's in 12-step program. And so me on my high horse at the dinner table decided that, no, auntie, I'm like, they're lying to you. And I did it so publicly, meaning like in the household full of generations, four generations of family, that she looked at me like, you're effing dead to me, kid. And since then, you know, lots of rejection from letters. And I have to tell you, it doesn't hurt like anymore. Like it doesn't, oh, thank you. It honestly doesn't hurt when I accept God's will. And it hasn't this holiday. And with that, I pass. I'm just so blessed for that neutrality. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Jackie. I had to cut you short there because, you know, me and Matt can add in times. So Jackie's our last share. We thank everyone who shared on this meeting today. Thank you for everybody that did service through November. So now, let me give you the share ID. That's a good idea, right? So today's share ID, Friday, November 29th, 2024, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 21,955,21955. And then we're going to end with a reading from the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Elena C. is going to read A Vision for You, because the book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning. Elena C. from South Carolina. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Be freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.